The Lord be with you. As ever, it is a privilege to see you this morning, and today's service is Holy Communion, so it will be a lovely opportunity to share together, to worship together, and have communion with one another. There's one or two notices that I will fire through. Bishop's Bible Week is something that happens every year. This year, it is Tuesday the 30th of August to Friday the 2nd of September. It takes place at 7:45 p.m. Very handy. It's down in Willowfield, which is closer to home than it has been the last couple of years. So I'm looking forward to that. There'll be it's always very interesting. The talks are always good, and worship there will be lovely as well. So that's Bishop's Bible Week. This week, 10:30 a.m., we have communion on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, there is Pilates at 7 p.m. That's restarting. On Thursday at 7 p.m., there is a Zoom prayer meeting, which is always a lovely time. If you're interested in joining us for that, find me, send me a message, and we will involve you in that. And looking a couple of weeks ahead, on the 4th of September, Sunday the 4th of September, we're looking to resume Holy Communion 1. Now, that will be at 9 a.m. So for those of you who would like to come along to that, you're more than welcome. So starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday the 4th of September, we've got Holy Communion 1. And just to remind you, our rector, Jonathan, is away with his family having a well-deserved break. I'm not saying a well-deserved break from you lot. I mean, I don't even know why you're mentioning it. I'm back from our break. We had a lovely time. And so as long as the weather stays like this, we're all grand. So if you need anything, please don't hesitate to contact me. And you know where I am. If you're not sure, my contact details are online. So you're all very welcome this morning. Our opening hymn is O for a Thousand Tongues.
Oh,
We pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these, your laws, in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for the Gloria. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And a special prayer for today. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please take your seats for the readings.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we are aware of their plot and that God has frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as they worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half the men holding spears, from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We remain standing, and let's say together, and I was going to say announce together, and I think that's a good word. Let's make it clear with the words of the Nicene Creed what it is we believe. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. And let's sing together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we think about building and rebuilding in your kingdom and in St. Finian's. Amen. Please take your seats.
So today's reading, and I'm going to let you in on the secret, something behind the scenes about Gillian here, although she doesn't know. Today's reading is from a big and important part of history in the Old Testament. And I sent the wrong reading through by accident to Gillian, and it was the chapter before. And her reaction was absolutely brilliant, because if you look back, the chapter before, the one we read today, it's just full of names and names, the longest and most complex names you've ever seen in one place. And we almost had a walkout. But you know what? We fixed it. And Gillian very, very bravely read it this morning. I think we should have read the previous chapter as well, but she said no. But the Bible is not always the easiest book to read. And if anyone ever says to you that it's the good book, tell them to read the book of Judges, for example. It's set around the time when the people of Israel were first settling or had first settled into their promised land. And the book of Judges will give you an idea of what people can do and do when they're left to their own devices. It is truly grim reading. And then after that, you've got the books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, which show us that things settled down a bit when the people of God had a king. But truthfully, it didn't do that much settling down at all. Even under David's rule, when you get to 2 Samuel, it's still rough stuff. And you have to pick and choose which stories you're going to give to the Sunday school to read. Good book. Yes and no. It got to the point in Israel's history where God said through his prophets, he said to Israel, "You have been so unfaithful to me. You've been worshipping any old god that so much as winks at you. And you've been treating each other so abysmally. This land is no longer yours." And around 580 BC, the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem. The walls were besieged. The king, who was Zedekiah at the time, was forced to watch as his family were killed. And then, grim reading, his eyes are taken out. So that is the last thing he sees. And he, along with most of the people, are taken away into captivity. Today's reading is set around 140 years after that. Maybe longer, but certainly none of the people in today's reading would have a living memory of what went on. But I'm willing to bet that they all knew this account of what had happened. And that when the people in our reading today were rebuilding Jerusalem's walls, and it says they were wary, they had good reason to be wary. These stories and ideas of what happened to Zedekiah would be thoroughly in their minds. Now, I said 140, that's nonsense. It was many years after that. But over the period of exile, things changed in the land of Babylon. New powers took over. And the people of God were allowed to return and rebuild. But this act of rebuilding Jerusalem was attracting unwanted attention. No one wanted God's city to be built. No one wanted it. Especially the surrounding kings and the surrounding rulers. And today we're talking about rebuilding. Now, there's still masks being worn, and COVID is still fresh in the memory, but we're still thinking about what things look like after COVID. For example, we're restarting Holy Communion 1 in a couple of weeks. And this is the 90th year, a big anniversary of St. Finian's. And anniversaries are a time when you take stock, you look back, you look forward. Imagine this, it's 8:30 on a Saturday morning, you're having a lie-in, and the phone rings. You answer the phone, and it's Belfast Zoo. You say, "What?" Yes, it's Belfast Zoo on the phone. And the person on the phone says, "As we're coming out of lockdown now and we're trying to get things together, we need your help." So you say to the person on the phone, "Okay, the zoo wants my help. Right, I will have a family visit to the zoo later on this afternoon, and I'll maybe have another family visit later on in the month. How about that? Will that help your zoo? But the zoo's rather pushy, and they say, no, that's really not enough. We need your help. And so you say to the person phoning from the zoo, you say, okay, I'll become a member of Belfast Zoo. And you're a charity. You can get my membership, and you can claim the taxes back on my membership. Now, I need a lie-in. It's 8:30 in the morning. And the zoo says, no, you don't understand. We really, really need your help. The giraffes and the camels need mucking out, and the seals need fed. We'll see you here in an hour, and you can bring your own gloves. Can you imagine if you ever got a phone call like that? You'd be thinking, well, no, that's pushy. That's rude. But that's the kind of call that we receive every now and then from the church. Sometimes you can think, well, that's a bit pushy. Is a church allowed to say there's more to it than attendance and giving money? Now, I know that everyone here knows thoroughly and you live it out. It's not just about attendance and giving money. But sometimes it's something we need to think about explicitly and talk about. Let's go to a visit to another zoo, and I am going to ask you to forgive me in advance for this story. I don't come over well in this story, but it's true. Over 10 years ago, my family and I, we went to Dublin Zoo. Dublin Zoo is a lot bigger than Belfast Zoo. And what I remember, and I'm sure it's still the same, the ape enclosures were on two halves. So you had a kind of field bit here with cages and a field bit here with cages and big fences. And joining the two enclosures was a high wire with a path for the public in the middle. And on the day we went, I repeat, this was over 10 years ago. A lot has changed since then. We noticed a young chimp climb up one side and stop halfway above the path, and it just stopped. And there was about 20 folks, then 30 folks, then 40 folks who all stopped and looked as this chimp just started dropping things and doing its business off the high wire onto the path. And everyone was fascinated because, believe you me, it's great, it's fascinating. We just stopped and the crowd grew. And the sense of camaraderie just built up around this chimp. And every time the chimp did something, the crowd would go, oh. And if it did something else, they would go, ah. We're easy pleased as human beings. And then the mood changed. There was a ripple of tension that went through the crowd as a woman with a pram, completely oblivious to what was going on, broke through the ranks. And there had been a big gap around the drop zone, if you like, or no man's land. And she just started to go through it. Nobody said a word. Nobody stopped her. And I think it was because if anyone had called out, it would have ruined the whole game. And it would have been disloyal to the crowd. And everything was hushed. And we watched her. And we watched the chimp. The only time the silence was broken was when something was dropped by the chimp. It missed her by 2 feet. And everyone went, oh! And she realized what was going on and just was absolutely appalled and burst on through the crowd. Group behavior is an amazing thing. And even in that situation, no real harm would have come to anyone, but even in that situation, a group sticks together. No one calls out. No one really likes to go away from what the group is doing. In our New Testament reading, Jesus went against the group for very, very good reasons. The tradition in the place of worship where Jesus was in our New Testament story said, no work on the Sabbath. Nothing. And when Jesus healed someone on that day, it was interpreted as work. And the people in charge said, no. What are you doing? We were sent into exile for doing stuff like this. We can't be doing this. And Jesus had to explain why he was stepping out from what the group was doing. Stepping out from the group or changing what we do slightly can receive criticism sometimes from outside the church, sometimes from inside the church. And we have to decide, what are we going to do? What are we doing? Now, when Nehemiah's people were rebuilding the cities, delegates from the surrounding cities who did not want Jerusalem to be rebuilt, did not want it to be a force again, they came out and tried to make it stop. And that's why Nehemiah wrote, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. And those who carried materials and did their work, with one hand they held a weapon. So they were on high alert. And not just because we're coming out of COVID, not just because of the 90th anniversary, we are also constantly building and rebuilding as people of God's kingdom. We're always being called to think things through, to assess as we see where we are and grow into maturity. Now, you might think, why? Why think about growing something or assessing something or building something when it's fine as it is? St. Finian's runs very, very efficiently, I think. There's a great select vestry team who oversee things. Finances are very well looked after. And sure, we've had our hit from COVID-19 with numbers, but everyone's had their hit. And we're doing and have done very well. It's a nice place, this, to come on a Sunday and get a refresh. Nehemiah's lot, they could have quite happily stayed in exile because, bizarrely, it was a safe place to be. They set down roots. They married. They had children. It was basically a new place for them to live. They were safe there. Their heads were not above the parapet. Why did they come back and risk things? Well, it was because they knew that God wanted them to grow and mature and build his kingdom. They were always thinking about what it was that God wanted them to do. And what about us? What does growth look like? What can it look like? Well, my honest answer is, I don't know. That's something that God knows and God will bring through us as we move forward, day by day, week by week. But in St. Finian's, there's plenty going on. There's a couple of very basic things, though, I think we could continue to think about. Children's work. We have a lot of children in Sunday school. We mentioned this before. There's around 100 children who are associated with this place through BB and other places. And there's nothing lovelier than the sound of children singing and laughing and being in a church. And for this to continue and for this to grow, we need provision. We already have Sunday school, creche, BB, messy church, and we'd love to start a youth fellowship. And what this means is that people are going to be needed to give their time. There are people who are already involved that will say, I'd like to give more of my time. That's great. But fresh eyes, fresh experiences to give time and to say, can I be a part of what's going on with the young people and children in this area? And it's through this offer of help and through this act of love that God does continue and build his kingdom. And I don't think that that is an overstatement of the fact. Another area that we can continue to think about and continue in is worship. We are blessed with a beautiful liturgy. We are blessed with, in this particular church, a beautiful choir, a wonderful organist, but don't tell him, he'll get big-headed. In fact, nobody look at them. Don't look at them. And they assist us and they lead us each week in our worship. And if it's something that you are interested in, to join with them and help lead us in worship, I know that they would make you very, very welcome. They're a good bunch most of the time. They look after each other. I can tell you from experience this week, they look after one another. They care for one another. And when one of them is unwell, they gather round. And if that's something that you're interested in, being part of the worship and also being part of that choir team, they would make you very, very welcome. And finally, something that St. Finian's does already and is absolutely beautiful, and you can continue doing, we can continue doing, is the way we gather around one another. We will keep on caring for one another. It's something we will do. When one of us is sick, the word gets around quite quickly. And it's not because people are busybodies. It's not like that. When someone is sick, people gather around to make sure they have everything they need, that they're being cared for. We visit one another in hospital. We call one another. We cook for one another. And we pray for one another. It's beautiful. And if I can suggest one thing, is that I know the way groups work is that there's little groups of friends around, dotted within the church, and that's the way it works, and that's a healthy way of working. But if you see someone who's not naturally in your group, or not naturally someone you would come into contact with, but you're aware of them, think about stepping out and incorporating that person into your group. And that means if we do that, we'll double up and people won't fall through. And people who are maybe not even in the church, but around in the community, we can find them and we can bring them in. And that is a beautiful way in which the kingdom grows and God's love is spread throughout the community. It all sounds too simple. But it's through these and other simple acts, nothing too complicated, nothing great and theological, that God's love grows and spreads and his kingdom continues to come. And when folks say to us what we're doing in the church, why are we doing this, why are we doing that, we can say, well, we're part of God's mission and God is a building God. Throughout history, throughout the Bible, we read about God building and rebuilding and moving forward. And as St. Finian's, that's something that we can continue to be a part of. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that is going on here at St. Finian's. And thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you for the children who come to BB, Messy Church, Sunday School, the support sessions in Liz Nashara Primary School. And we thank you in advance for all of those who will come to our 90th celebrations. We ask that the numbers of children and young people in our congregation will grow, and we ask that we will be ready for them as you build your kingdom in this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the worship here at St. Finian's. We thank you for the variety, the liturgies, the choir, and the music. And we pray that our songs and words would be pleasing to you, first and foremost. And as we look forward to restarting Holy Communion 1 in September, we ask that you would oversee it and that everything we do would be to your glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sense of community in this place. It echoes your church when it first started. We thank you for the way that folks look out for one another, pray for one another. May we continue to build and sustain your kingdom here by adding to the numbers that we call our own. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we sit here, we have brothers and sisters across the globe who are not free to worship as we are. We stood and made clear what we believe through the words of the Nicene Creed. There are people who just cannot do that. We bring before you our family across the globe. We ask you to be close to those who cannot speak your name without fear of ruin. Heavenly Father, the sun never sets on your kingdom. May your kingdom of love grow, and may all things be fulfilled to your glory and for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the country we live in. We pray that we, your church, will step up and see that the care of the poor and the lost is our job while governments quarrel. Let us fill that space, and may the governance of this country be on your shoulders, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, in a few quiet moments, we bring to you those who are known to us, who are fatigued, depressed. We bring to you those who are lonely, those who are sick, and those who are in mourning. May they always be in your loving gaze, and may you bring them peace and restoration. We pray for our sisters and brothers who are joining us online now and later on today. We ask that you be especially close to them. And if it is correct, we ask you to melt any barriers that keep them from us. And thank you for the tech team, the ones that broadcast these services. Watch over them in this vital ministry as it continues for those who simply can't join us in person. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our prayers continue as we share together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
As we approach communion together, let's continue thinking about the prayer of humble access as we sing together, "I am not worthy."
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine. You gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now, and may this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with faith and thanksgiving. May I remind you as you come forward, if you are not comfortable with the common cup, simply cross your arms in front of you, and that will be a sign to us that we can pass you by. If you are a visitor or new here, please know that everyone is welcome to take part in communion. O God, as we are strengthened by these holy mysteries, so may our lives be a continual offering, holy and acceptable in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in our worship and in our act of communion. And over the course of this week, please continue in your times of prayer, continue to look out for one another, continue to pray for one another. And if there's anything we can do for you, please just say, don't sit quietly and go without. That's not what we're here for. We close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Our closing hymn this morning is Rejoice, the Lord is King.